Okay, we're going to take your phone calls now this entire hour with Dr. Lori. Questions, perhaps, or maybe even your stories on touching the other side. All that and much more next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Lori, the clock got us when you were talking about your story. So go ahead, take it away.
That this intuition was that the father that was summarily dismissed and not able to raise his son had maybe dropped the baby or done something where the baby's head got injured. And now this woman coming in, the baby grown up, the motorboat riding was able, and the craniosacral therapist also saw that her plates were out of alignment. That when the motorboat riding was when she felt the most connection into her own power. There was the vibration caused a cross-hemispheric connection that got her out of her depression. So we could work not only with the plates in her head through craniosacral, but also through neurofeedback and connecting herself to her, the hemispheres, connecting with communication to get her out of her depression. A normal evaluation would not include that. It wouldn't include craniosacral. It wouldn't include it intuitive. This person is now doing very well. So depression is unique to each individual in different ways. So I hope that explains it, George. Yes, we do have great success, but we need to start as mental health practitioners looking at everybody very uniquely.
Very good. Let's go to the calls now. We'll go to Omaha, Nebraska, east of the Rockies. Hey, Max, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
Lori, this is such a fantastic topic tonight, especially for me. I've been living with chronic pain for 2 years. I'm a healthcare professional, and we can't seem to pinpoint why I have the pain.
You're a healthcare professional, too?
Yes, I'm a registered nurse and a massage therapist, and I'm highly qualified at massage therapy. I consider myself an intuitive.
And they can't find the source of this?
No, we've done surgery where they had three herniations, and the MRI showed nothing. But I kind of kept on going until they would do surgery, and they did find three herniations on three levels. And I still have the pain.
Max, as an intuitive and someone who's aware of the body, the emotional body and the physical body, what is your intuition for yourself?
I think it's still in my back somewhere. That's what I think. They missed a couple of nerve, foraminal nerves that were entrapped. There was so much inflammation that when they backed out, they took care of four nerves that were trapped, and it was a lot of inflammation. I think they missed a couple. But getting someone to believe that I have the pain is the problem.
Well, that's the tough thing, and it can't be. Have you come across those cases, Lori, where they're psychosomatic, where they have created this? I don't think he is. I think whatever pain he has is real.
Even if there is a psychosomatic part, a component to it, it is real. So you are feeling this pain. You know, is there an emotional underpinning though that is affecting the body from healing? Is there an emotional discord anywhere for you?
I would think there would be a lot, starting with my dad, who has stolen my identity. We're facing bankruptcy because insurance would not pay for all of my operations. My doctor visits drained all of our savings, maxed out the credit cards, forced us basically into bankruptcy just because of me trying to find the cause of my pain. I've had hours and hours of counseling.
Well, something that you could do on your own, in being an intuitive and a massage therapist, this is comfortable, I know, for you, is to, when you are in a place where you are not in pain, you know, to get a place where you can comfortably sit and bathe yourself in the white light and ask for all the consciousness that can serve you. Medical consciousness on the other side, medical consciousness and emotional consciousness, and that which is for you, to serve you, to get out of the pain and really listen. Really, if you want to automatic write or, you know, sit in front of the computer and let it, but ask the guidance realm or your God self to come in and help you know, be sent to who will help or within you what you need to look at. And I know that obviously this is of deep concern to you. And if he was
coming into your office, what would you start with? How would you handle him?
A extensive history, which I can't get on the phone in 3 seconds.
No,
and I'm not about to diagnose over the phone without an eval. But Max, obviously, this is really, really getting you, and it really requires you to go deep within, ask for enormous amounts of help, and stay in trust and in light, and see what comes, because it may be that help is in internal for you to understand what's at the core of you. If you need a course correction right now, I mean, back pain means you can't be a massage therapist. You know, you're getting stripped of a lot of your identity and your resources. So there's a lot on the table for you right now.
Okay, let's go to our next. Max, good luck to you, by the way.
Please.
Let's go next to La Crosse, Wisconsin. Jean, you're on with Dr. Lori. Hi, Jean.
Good evening, or I should say more like good morning there, Dr. Levin.
Hi, Jean.
Well, I don't know if I should say I got a ton of questions or one question that's going to, as I like to call it, have babies, which is a new one to you, I'm sure, or the question leads to thousands of questions. I've been in for, I'm going to say ever since Tori, one of my computers, took sick, and I know probably a good deal of it is I considered my fault, which about killed me, because I got a lot of strong beliefs about computers and how, with the development of computers and that, but I'm not, about this 2 seconds of time, I'm not going to go into it all because we just don't have the time. And what's going back to me is ever since Tori took sick of dealing with that and trying to give him a gigabyte of memory, it just, my finances fell apart, which is kind of outside your realm, and I understand that. But I've been busting my sensor, trying to get myself to get back in check, and I've gotten where it's just like my spiritual life has just gone.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like I'm at a standstill with God. I'm at a standstill with everything because of good grief. I can't even. It's just I don't know where my next meal comes from. Borderlining on eating spoiled food, you name it. It's just been snowballing at me. And the more I work to get out of this, and I've been turning to about every realm of spiritualism I can try. And I seem to be, had, you know, a little benefit towards my eyes, but that's not enough to give me what I need. But, and it's just, I'm at a standstill, and it's. I'm normally one of the happiest guys you ever met, but because I'm not. It seems like I'm not happy if I ain't handing somebody a bunch of cock and bull just for laughs. And it's like I can't even. I feel like I'm.
Well, let's see if we can get just a little advice here, Lori. Well, obviously, you cannot.
I can't do medical services and, you know, yeah, right, doctoral services. But Jean, the first words that you said after you said my computer's taken sick is, I believe it's my fault. It's really important for you to hear me. Don't please try to get into that mindset of you feeling that it's your fault. And it's not your fault and your untethered feeling to your connection to God needs to please be your first priority in some respects, to really sit within yourself and ask what is going on for you internally. Oftentimes, when we're at our lowest and we're stripped of much of what we defined ourselves from, is the best time to find out your deepest connection to self, to learn to love who you are from the inside out. And this is obviously you're in dire straits right now. I can hear it in your voice. But please try very hard to not consider it your fault, to really put yourself in the light, really try to bring in all that you know as holy, and ask for connection.
All right. That helps. Next up, we go to Zach in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Zach, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a quick question for your guest. I get vibes and dreams of the future, but I'm not sure how I control it. I mean, sometimes the right times are wrong. It's very inconsistent. I was curious if you had a way I could figure out how to control that. I get these vibes from people I've never even met, not seen face to face, and I get these vibes, and 90% of the time they're right.
How do you control something like that,
Lori? You know, Zach, I obviously, as I can tell, you want it to be more consistent. Sometimes it's not in your control, that you just have to trust that what comes to you has meaning for you in that moment. And what I often do in each morning prayer and at night is, what is mine to do? I often ask, bring me what is mine to do in every moment, so that you're not an open satellite dish receiving at all times, that you are being able to refine your reception for what is important to you in your life's purpose.
All right. Let's go to Michigan. Mary, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say my husband died of esophageal cancer in 2003. And just before he passed, he had woke up in the middle of the night and told me several things that were going to happen to me. And everything that he had told me had come true. And he had told me that he was going to stay in this house and watch over me and protect me. And I have gotten telepathic communication with him from the moment he passed. They came and put him in the hearse, and when the hearse was pulling out of the driveway, it stopped at our gate, and the man in the passenger seat got out. He looked at the back tire. He said, go forward. The tire spun. He said, go backwards. The tire spun. He got in, and he said, I don't know why we're not moving. And I was standing on the porch crying. I knew at that moment that my husband was holding the bottom of that hearse. And that was the first indication I got. The second indication was at his funeral, an ex-boyfriend of mine that my husband never liked was hitting on me at the funeral. And I just thought, what an idiot.
At the funeral?
And he left. At the end of the funeral, his flowers were at the end of my husband's coffin. It was like someone walked over there and kicked them, and they flew across the room. And that was the first time I heard his voice. He said, I still don't like him there.
That is so
and I
great.
Went, oh my God, is he really talking to me?
Yes.
And I'm writing a book right now about the telepathic communication I get with him. It's called Holding Dan's Hand. And I just wanted to know, what do you think about that, Lori?
I love it. I love that you're holding Dan's hand and that he is there for you and that he made a commitment to you. And are you in mutuality with it? Are you enjoying his protection and his staying over and watching you in the house? Is that something that you want?
Oh, absolutely. Have you ever heard of Camp Chesterfield?
I have heard of Camp Chesterfield.
Yeah, I used to go down there with my husband, and there's a reverend down there, Reverend Cadell. And when this first started happening, I called her, and she told me, I said, am I crazy? I'm hearing my husband speak to me. And she said, no, Mary. She said, that's telepathic communication with the other side. And there was one time I had gone down there to get a reading from her, and I got lost. I took a bunch of girlfriends, and I got lost. And when I went in for my reading, she said, I can't read you. And I said, why? And she said, your husband's blocking me. And I said, what? She says, he has a very strong connection with you, and he's very upset. Well, I forgot to call him, and he thought we got hurt. So I went in, she made me call him, and he said, where have you been? I've been so worried that you got in an accident. And I said, you're blocking my reading. He said, good. So when I went back, she said, he is your soulmate, is what she told me. She said, he is your soulmate, and he has a very strong connection with you.
As long as you're happy with that and you're enjoying it, and that's the work that you two have to do together for you to write this book, for him to connect to you and be your guide and help you bring help to others, this is important work. The minute that you have a feeling that it's not in mutuality is the moment that you'll know that you don't want that. But it sounds like the two of you are soulmates and that you have worked together. Believe what you feel. Believe what you feel.
Lori, what percent do you think of your practice is based on talking to people about the life after life, talking to people about the day-to-day routines? What would the mix-up be?
It's more about helping them find their own inner connection to what brings them light in their life, connection to their intuitive abilities or connection to their purpose. It's more about that. I don't talk in sessions a lot about life after life unless invited in by their belief system. In me, when I walk in the door, I bring that. But I don't lead with that. And that's because I have guidelines, but I had to write a memoir because I wanted to share my the way that I do it so I could help others. But I don't want to talk about necessarily the way patients do it, which is now why I'm out, you know, lecturing, because I can talk openly and people will, like your callers, come in and share stories.
Have you ever come across so pure evil?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that because it's a question you love to ask, and it's part of your book. I have, but I don't, as I told you, consider it necessarily Satan. I think of it as a dark force that is in existence and that does have enormous amounts of consciousness that serves it, and that in order for it not to work through us or with us, we give avid prayer, know what our mission is, state it clearly, succinctly, over and over again, live that, and surround ourselves with love and light. If it does come, I look at it as an orphan whose nose is pressed against the glass of a family, looking in at a family with a fire going and eating Thanksgiving dinner, that it wants to transmute to light, that it really does have a craving to transmute to light. And I invite it to transmute to light, not through my body. I have gotten pangs where I've been doubled over in pain. And I knew that I was being knocked on by consciousness that wants to serve the dark. And I asked it to please never come through my body. I will work with it on the dream plane.
When we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Dr. Lori Levin. Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us for stories of high strangeness and some real science, followed by conversations with Linda. Now, when we come back, we'll take final phone calls with Dr. Lori on Coast to Coast AM. Lori, in your practice, how important do you think it has been for you to be able to have this intuitive ability as well?
Crucial. But I don't know it any other way because I came to it with it, but I can't imagine a therapist not being intuitive in some way, whether they define it or not, as there is a field of energy that connects you and binds you, and you come to help and join in the name of healing. I don't know how you could do it without it. Not everybody believes in life after life and other dimensions and connections that are bigger and beyond, but the intuition part, crucial.
Do you think that our life is already dictated?
Parts. I think that we have the ability to co-create with God, that we are God. There is a God self that is our creator with in an alliance to God. And then there are parts that we come in with. I am an advocate that we pick our parents, that we pick our soul groups, that we come in to explore connection and love with these people in this body. So, yes, I believe that.
All right, let's go to some final calls here. Here we go. Niagara Falls we go. John is east of the Rockies. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Lori Levine. There's a lot of questions that come to me. That last one just inspired me to say, you didn't have control of your father's sperm or your mother's ovum. You weren't in control of that. Let me say something here regarding spirit, soul, body, and imbalancements. When you're talking about whole, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He called sinners to repent. But here's the point. When you're talking about this light or this power or this wholeness or this healing, do you use nutritional approaches? Do you use exorcism? There's a holistic, many facets of healing and getting the psychological, spiritual, emotional, and physical body back into balance, because it takes years. Like it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, that says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, there's two words that come out of there, H-O-L-Y.
And
and then W-H-O-L-L-Y, and then W-H-O-L-E. Now, to get whole, there has to be that restraint of the disciplines and restraints of life to the temptations, to the self-destructive influences. Most people live by choice and by chance indiscriminately, not consciously aware of what one is doing to themselves. When we're talking about prevention, when we're talking about healing, there's very few practitioners out there, because wholeness comes through a pursuit of holy, for one, H-O-L-Y. But when you're getting a nutritional approach, both understanding proteins, fats, carbohydrates, water, all the whole process of healing. Sure, there's a spiritual component, but are you a Jew? Are you a Christian? Where is the ultimate source of the power to overcome one's self-destructive influences? And when you're looking for this higher power, who is it? Is it the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or is it Jesus, or who?
Well, I agree with you that wholeness and holy are one, and I am in absolute accordance with your belief that nutrition is important, that we are a body, and the proteins, fats, carbohydrates, and water are holy and for our ability to heal and sustain. For me, if you're asking me personally, I was born a Jew, but I have had deep connection with Jesus and a lot of other masters, that I am more of a universal being, although my Jewish DNA and my Jewish upbringing has informed a lot of me and my pursuits.
Okay, let's go to Danian in Stanton, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Danian, go ahead.
Hey, hi, George. Hi, Lori. I wanted to talk about a powerful dream I had a few nights ago. It really rocked me to the core. I was basically in the dream. I was brought before what I could only call a field of consciousness. It felt like an astral dimension or a spiritual dimension. And basically, this voice, this disembodied voice, came out and said, in the next 16 months, you're going to face a significant loss. And then my mind cut in during the dream and said, my hand. Now, I don't really want to lose my hand. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what the stream could have possibly been.
Hmm. And it was the kind that rocked you to your core. It would be like what the American Indians call a big dream. It really had resonance for you, and it's something for you to pay attention to.
Right.
okay, it's my first knee-jerk reaction is for you to do some automatic writing, to light candles, to bring in, invocate what you believe is holy to you.
Okay.
And start to do some automatic writing. Ask what the field of consciousness was. Ask what the dimension was.
Okay.
Ask what the disembodied beings were. What was there another message beside the obvious message? And ask what the hand means. Is it literal? Is it figurative? Start to do some real exciting self-exploration. And if you don't get anywhere, go to a friend or a mentor or a teacher or a healer that can help you.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Mm-hmm. Lori, you said you go to conferences or speaking engagements all over the place?
Yes. Yes, I have been doing a book tour. I have also been speaking in Philadelphia. I have all of everything is on my website as to where I will be and what I will be doing. I often talk to the community of psychologists and healthcare practitioners in different cities, bringing in my work, which I call Soul Communion, the analysis that I told you about, as well as even the patent. I am patent pending for how to start an endeavor invoking the other side, which is also intriguing. It's for free on the website. Please use it. I am patent pending because I had a penchant for the U.S. government to honor the fact that there was life after life. But I invite anyone who wants to start a new endeavor and call in. Please do that.
All right, next up, it's Terry and Adrian, Michigan. Hello, Terry. Terry?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
I was wondering, is gender related to reincarnation? Like, do you change genders sometimes?
I am not the correct person to ask about the body of research. However, I will direct you to the work of Ian Stevenson, and they have done extensive research in countries that believe in reincarnation: Thailand, India, Cambodia. Jim Tucker, who's an MD, a child psychiatrist, he works out of the University of Virginia. They have talked to many who have birthmarks from where they might have been killed in their past life. They have themes of past life, statements that are important to the past life, behaviors. But gender is not something that I know about. But please look up Jim Tucker, MD, and Ian Stevenson's work, MD, who is no longer with us.
Thank you.
Sure.
Let's go to Boston. Walter's with us. Hey, Walter, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the guy who had so much pain with his back.
Sure.
I want to relate a situation where I was diagnosed with going to go for major surgery in one of the local Boston hospitals. Then I read a book by Dr. Sarno, Mind Over Back Pain, and I'll tell you, I haven't had pain since. And you know, I couldn't even walk. I was crippled. And back pain, if it isn't a major injury, if you didn't have like fall off a roof or something, there's no such thing as what Dr. Sarno says, that you cannot cure yourself of this. And it's amazing what that book did for me. And so I just wanted to relate the healing process that I went through, because I was going through for major surgery and pain that was crippling. So I just wanted to relate that story.
Walter, I thank you, because Dr. Sarno has done great, great work in the field. And as you know, there's a lot of emotional components to back pain, and you are right. And I'm glad that you got help and that you didn't have to go into surgery. And you're right. That book is a godsend.
Do you see or deal with children at all, Lori?
No, we don't. We see them in relationship to family, because we do family work. But we specialize with 18 and up.
Let's go to Livonia, Michigan. Peter, you're up with us. Hey, Pete.
Hi.
Hi, Pete.
How you doing, folks? Hi.
Sure thing.
Yeah. Hi, I'm 51 years old.
30 years into a journey of polar disease. I'm probably don't need medication anymore. I take a slight amount. I've corrected I believe I've corrected my brain chemistry through diet and spirituality. And what I want to bounce off you, Lori, is I believe that as the world goes down, my world is flourishing economically, spiritually. I've met a lady who I think I'm going to marry soon.
Oh, fantastic.
And I believe that I'm entering. I've been labeled abnormal for the last 30 years, and I believe I'm entering a new realm of maybe the new normal of this emerging world. What do you say about that?
I think that's great, and I think it's what I love about your voice is that you really are loving yourself. You're flourishing. You're in love. You're connecting to yourself, and you're happy. And you're 51, and you deserve it. And 30 years of hard work, and this is great. This is great.
It is good. And you got to have that attitude, don't you?
Pete?
No, that's okay. No, you.
Oh, yes. I mean, obviously, it's hard when you're at bottom or you're a puddle of gelatinous glue, you know, and it's hard, or you feel like you've been hit by a truck, you know, and depression, bipolar is obviously a serious disorder. It is not easy to do what Pete has done. So hats off to Pete.
Let's go to Springfield, Illinois. We've got Phyllis now. Hi, Phyllis. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. I just wanted to compliment Lori and she on the work that she's doing, because I was this therapist for many years, and I started back in the 80s, and I've always been into the spirit, mind, and body concept of healing, also as a medical professional. And I combined them all, the music therapy and the art therapy. But it was a struggle, because it wasn't. The years that I was in it, people did not understand it. But hopefully I did some good. But I think I just compliment you on what you're doing.
Oh, Phyllis, thank you. That means so much to me. Thank you for helping me pave the way and giving me strength in your way.
Well, it isn't easy, because you're looked at. I mean, I was sometimes, you know, a weirdo, and you suffered from the ignorance of not the patient so much as the some of the staff around you. But I just encourage you. It is wonderful. You continue your good work, and it expanded my life and moving into this type of therapy, and actually is healing to the person doing it, as you know.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you, Phyllis, thank you.
You are quite welcome. Bless you.
Thank you, bless you, that meant a lot.
Is that a little picture of you, by the way, sitting in the O of God in your book?
Yes, if you go to the back of the book, George, and you'll see a real picture of me. That's a cartoon.
That's cute. Let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Adrian, you're up with us. Hi, Adrian.
Hello. Thank you. Sure. George, Lori, it's great to be on the show. Great show.
Thank you.
My question is kind of, I have to start a little bit with something that happened to me back in 2004, the dates of September 23rd and 24th. Something happened in me, something intense welled up. And I felt it in my solar plexus, and I actually ended up in Indianapolis. I don't know how I got there, but after that happened, things became a major struggle for me in life. My family couldn't understand it, and just like one of your recent callers, I am actually coming to a point in my life where things are changing for the better. My son was just born 2 weeks ago, my first child.
Congratulations.
And these feelings are coming again, but they're coming with a rush of intensity that makes the feeling that I had in 2004 pale in comparison to what's happening now. Now, I know I've always been intuitive, but I have a sense, and I don't run into too many people that are, and I think that God and nature and Mother Earth kind of have a way of keeping us equally dispersed. My main question is how this time, while this feeling is rushing in, I kind of feel like I'm a surfer waiting for my next set, and it's going to be a huge wave. How do I not give in to astonishment and stay centered?
Well, like I would need, Adrian, please, I'm really with you. I heard every word you said, but I need to know more because you said somehow I ended up in Indianapolis. Did you lose time? Did you lose awareness? What do you mean?
There was a lot going on at the time, and, you know, I was... It's really kind of a long story, but I was in the Marine Corps. I was overseas, got home in 2003, and the last place I was overseas was in Africa, and something about that place changed me for the rest of my life, and really the kind of the change basically came, it was kind of a, came to a head on those dates in September.
Okay, we've got just a minute left here, Adrian, before we're out of time. And also, Lori, I don't know if you can give him enough advice other than, let me ask you this, for everyone out there who has a question about themselves, about how they spend the rest of their life, what they do, I think the first thing one should do is just dig deep within themselves, don't you?
Yes, and to know that they fit in perfectly no matter what's going on in their life, and to hold that because it starts with love of self, and to hold tight on who you are and the gift of your body, the gift of your mind, the gift of your spirit, and the changes that you want to make to really breathe, observe, and trust.
Well, that's the way to do it. Lori, thanks for being on the program. Very enlightening.
George, thank you.
All right, you take care of yourself. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safer.